The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm honored and excited to have everyone back today, and I'm even more excited to have on our guest. He is the co-founder, COO, and CFO of Rise 48 Equity. Mr. Bikran Sandhu is joining us today. Bikran, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, Cody. Thanks. Happy to be here. I'm doing well, thanks. Out here in Phoenix, Arizona, sunny as ever.
Perfect. And well, pulling back the curtain a little bit, we're recording this like in the very beginning stages of summer. We were discussing the heat out there and the differences in Southwest heat versus Southeast heat. Yep. Ultimately, hot's hot, I think, is where we landed on with that one. But Bikran, for those that maybe haven't seen your name in the community or new to the podcast, I would love for you to give a little bit of background on where you're from, how you got into real estate, and where you find yourself in the real estate career today.
Yeah, no, of course. Thanks, Cody. Yeah. So for everyone who doesn't know, my name is Bikran Sandhu. I started out in real estate back in 2018. But prior to that, I used to be a financial auditor. I worked at PwC for a number of years, and I worked at a private consulting firm auditing and consulting for a large, you know, Fortune 100 companies, helping them implement processes and, you know, related to accounting and finance. Discovered real estate in 2018 through passive investing. We kind of started in multifamily right away. And then I found my partners, Zach and Robert, in the tail end of 2018, beginning of 2019, and just started partnering and doing deals together. Since then, you know, we've founded Rise 48 Equity in 2020. We have, you know, 9 deals under management, 4 under contract, and 2 that we've gone full cycle on. We've been very blessed and fortunate with the success we've had. It's a little bit about us.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you being incredibly humble. I hear blessed and fortunate. What I see when I'm talking to you guys, and I know I've talked with Zach on the team, there's a lot of hustle and intelligence behind the team, and you guys do fantastic work. So for those that are listening, pay attention to these guys because they're out there going after it. And we love seeing that. Bikran, I know we were talking a little bit before we hit record. You know, your career in real estate maybe is a little bit different than others. We've heard some others, you know, going from single family to multifamily or even just some sort of history in real estate before jumping in. But yours is a little different. I know you're going to tell us a little bit about that and kind of those pain points of jumping in without that background.
Yeah, no, of course. Now, you know, we lived in California when we first kind of got started. You know, at that point, you know, in California, it's kind of hard to find some cash flowing assets on your end, right? So we started looking in single family, you know, thought that might be a good way to go. But I'm a numbers guy. I go in and do projections and pro formas. And I figured, you know, after we bought maybe 10 or 20 houses, we'd end up at going into multifamily anyways. Any sort of projection I ran, I figured we're going to end up in multifamily. California is not the place to be for a cash flowing asset. You go there to flip homes. So we figured we need to go out of market. So we discovered Phoenix. You know, the numbers made sense in Phoenix. It was one of the top 3 for population growth, top 3 for job growth, personal income growth, rent growth, you know, kind of hit all the metrics that we were looking for. But the problem is we're out of state, right? So it's Phoenix is a checkerboard. We looked in Tucson as well. That's a checkerboard as well. You go one block is nice and gentrified and, you know, good community. The block over, you have gated apartment buildings. So you got to be careful where you buy. And we didn't know the market very well. We found a partner to work with initially in Southern California. They were kind of the same place as us. They wanted to get into multifamily. And we had partnered together for a deal in Tucson. But again, we didn't know, you know, what the market metrics were. We were kind of going off of what the broker was telling us. So we underwrote a deal that was allegedly off market, right? You know, you get these off market deals that quote unquote aren't really off market. They're just getting peddled around so the broker can kind of get a listing. So we, you know, he gave us a price. We underwrote it. We thought it was a good price. So we started going after it, but kind of quickly realized, you know, the terms that they were asking for, we just weren't comfortable on, right? They wanted hard earnest money day one. We had barely toured the asset, you know, with the broker when we were out there. And, you know, we're flying out there. We go to the property for maybe like a day and then come back. And we don't know anything about mechanical. We don't know anything about electrical. So they wanted us to go hard day one. We just weren't comfortable. So we just fell out. We didn't want to go after that deal. I think the main thing that we coming out of that was, hey, going from 0 to 1 in multifamily is not as easy as going out to, you know, a Redfin, looking at a deal, go out and going buying a single family property and then, you know, renovating it maybe and renting it out after 3-4 years. The same thing happened in Phoenix. So we found a deal that was marketed, you know, full market. We had now partnered with a couple additional gentlemen who were kind of familiar with the industry. They knew, you know, how to raise capital for deals, knew the kind of ins and outs. But I was the main point of contact for the broker and for our partners for this deal. And as you can imagine, living in California, trying to find a deal in Phoenix and finding this marketed deal and trying to go after it, it wasn't very successful, right? So, I mean, I've spent, 2 to 3 hours per deal and on underwriting. We underwrote over like 70 deals by this point. And it's just grind after grind, right? You're looking at the different metrics, looking at CoStar reports, you're looking at Yardi reports on these deals, and it just gets to a lot, right? So we're in best and final on this deal and we lose about 200,000. And by the time you're in best and final, you know, in that space, you've spent maybe 30, 40 hours just, you know, sharpening your pencil, as the brokers like to say, you know, making sure you can squeeze every ounce of a sale price out of that deal. And we didn't make it. So that was the first best and final we lost out on. Since then, we've lost out on maybe like 20, 30 additional ones. I think Zach, our CEO, kind of likes to say that we're the best at losing best and finals because we always lose out there. So yeah, so at that point, you know, the main thing that we took away from this was, A, we have the equity sources that we can work with, but the issue is that we don't have a local point of contact. And thankfully, you know, by that time we had met Zach Happenstall and Robert Shevchik, who we had partnered with on a JV structure for a 36 unit. And I just reached out to them and said, hey, do you guys want to do deals together? You know, it's like Zach has the knowledge on the broker side. He knows how to work with brokers and make sure that, you know, he can get the inside track on some of these deals. But he's not the best on the financial analysis side. My role, you know, in the company and kind of what we started out with was I do all the underwriting for all the deals that we have. I do all of the financial analysis on the back end, all the asset management on the back end, report out to investors. But I do anything essentially that relates to looking at a computer screen. We found a deal called Via Serena together. Robert, Zach, and I, we partnered with a couple equity partners and we took that deal down, right? So that was the first syndication that we had done, and getting to that point was definitely a struggle. Hundreds of hours not wasted, I guess. You're spending time in underwriting deals, kind of finessing your models and learning the market, and you know, you finally hit it at the end of the day after going through that struggle. It's not as easy as find a deal, get under contract, buy it. That's your 0 to 1 story. There's a lot that goes on.
I want to unpack some of that. So you had a partner in there originally that you were working with before you found Zach, and ultimately y'all came together. What was really helpful to you to find the right partner? Because we've heard this as something on the podcast that keeps coming up is play to your strengths, partner with others when you don't have that strength, whether it's the broker side of the relationship. We've heard a lot of times the construction or maybe even the underwriting. What is it to you that made it where Zach was definitely the person you wanted to partner with, but also what was that process like of you having to go through and find and validate that he is?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So, I mean, the first partners that we had tried to look, you know, work with they were kind of the same boat as us. You know, they hadn't bought a deal yet. So their experience level was kind of the same level as us. But I think the main issue was that we both did not know the market. Phoenix and Tucson are kind of like checkerboards, right? You have some really great areas and you have some really gray areas, right? So finding a deal in a good area or in a gentrifying area is very hard to do when you're not local to that market. The second big thing that we didn't have was that broker relationship. You know, we're flying in to these deals. and trying to figure out, you know, whether it's a good deal or not. We're talking to the brokers, but it's mostly over phone calls, right? We're not seeing them face to face. They can't put a face to the name. You know, they're seeing blind LOIs coming in or blind offers coming in. So that, you know, that really doesn't help your case at all. So I talked to my fiance and we talked about it for a while, and we figured, you know, we can be the back office of the company and we can do all the financial analysis. So we need to work with somebody who can be the face of the company, right? Who can go out and tour deals with brokers, you know, maintain those great relationships, and who's a go-getter, someone who's willing to take risks, who knows like what's a good deal versus not a good deal, and who just needs support on the back end to kind of get us there. I think when we first spoke to Zach, he was going after a 36 unit deal, and he brought us and his equity partners with him on that deal. And you know, when we first spoke with him, you know, he kind of hit all the right buttons there. He's been building broker relationships for a while. He has good equity partners that he works with, and he knows the market. He was born and raised in Phoenix, but he's a little lacking on the computer screen side. That's where I come in, right? So I complemented his skill set perfectly. And then with Robert, he has a background in architecture and construction. You know, all our business plans really are going into a property, adding a lot of value at almost $20,000 a door, and then raising the NOI, forcing NOI appreciation, and then exiting the deal. So having that construction background also played a pivotal role in something that we were looking for. Me managing the back office with Zach being the, you know, head of the company, and Robert helping with the asset management and construction, it just worked perfectly. It was like a perfect triangle that we got together. When we talked to Zach and we talked to Robert, we figured, you know, this was it. You meet your partners and sometimes some things just click, and this was just it. We figured this is the guy we need to work with in order to get from our W-2 job today to being multifamily owners in the next 5 to 10 years. So that's how we got there.
And talk to me about kind of the mental aspect. You mentioned in that explanation, which I absolutely love, you had to go back inside your mindset and say, okay, I'm okay not being the face of the company. And I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, they want to be or just perceive that that's what they are or need to be. Talk to me about the conversations with your wife and the conversations internally that helped you kind of come to that realization that it's okay for me not to be the face of the organization. I bring a pivotal role to this company, but I don't have to be out front of everything. Help us and our audience understand kind of that mindset.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this is business, right? And you want to, you have your own personal goals that you establish that you want to achieve. My personal goal has never been to found a company or find a company and be known as the person who founded that company. My personal goals are different, and I aim to achieve those in a different way. So I guess what I'm trying to say is you got to take your emotions out of the game when you're trying to do business. Would I want to be the face of the company that's like $100 million, you know, valuation and whatnot? Sure, you know, that'd feel great. But it's not something I want. You know, I'd rather be the guy behind the desk and get the company there and know that the partners that I'm working with, who are the face of the company, that all three of us value each other equally, right? So that's really what I aim for and the partnerships that I go for on my end. So when I was talking to my fiance, we talked about this for a while that, hey, we want to be entrepreneurs and we want to found our own company. But multifamily just doesn't work like that. You can't, you know, be the sole owner, you know, take down $320+ million worth of assets or transact over $320 million+ in 2 years just by yourself. It's just too much work. And I've never met a Superman that's been able to do it themselves in this market. So you definitely need to partner with the right people. And partnering, you just got to complement the skill set. I'm not great at talking to brokers. You know, I'm not the best at talking to equity partners and limited partners. Zach's does a great job at that. You know, I'm not the best when you go out to a specific property, you go into a unit, see whether the quartz countertop was installed correctly, whether the white shaker doors were installed correctly. Robert is perfect at that. He knows exactly what needs to be upgraded to get the market rents that we need. At the same time, Zach and Robert, they don't like looking at five-year performance. They don't like doing investor reporting. You know, they don't like going into the bank, sending out monthly distributions. I'm great at that. You know, that's my bread and butter. So it's really about making sure that you take the emotion out of the game, you look at what your skill sets are, and then you try to complement those skill sets with where you're deficient at, right? We can all try to go in and hone every single skill, but by the time you get into the game, you'll be 60, 65 years old, and that's when you'll be a superstar and you'll take down your first deal. And we just didn't want to wait until then to, you know, do all that.
No, I love that. And I hope that everyone takes that to heart, because I think for so many entrepreneurs, there is a mentality of, I need to be the face, or I need to be the person that is the figurehead of this organization, whether it's public or not. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is understanding your goals, what you want to achieve personally and as a family, and being able to leverage your skill set to be able to accomplish that. And oftentimes that means bringing in partners or partnering with folks that complement what you don't like. And I love you, your guys' story. I think y'all do it great. Y'all have the three big pillars for what, you know, what multifamily syndication truly needs to be successful. So please, everyone listening, pay attention to that. Take it to heart. If that's not you, it's okay. It's okay to be the person behind the computer doing all the underwriting, looking in Excel all day. That's fun for a lot of us, not fun for everybody.
Someone's got to do it.
Exactly. And if you do it incredibly well, man, what a great asset to have on a team that, your partners don't have to worry about that. They trust you and know that you have that skill set to be able to accomplish what you guys are moving forward to. So
exactly. Yep.
Big Ron, I think that's as good a spot as ever. I can't thank you enough for coming on, especially the knowledge, opening up and talking to us about some of the struggles and processes that you have gone through personally, and then as you know, Rise 48, as y'all continue to grow, what y'all are doing. So thank you so much for the time. For folks that do want to reach out, maybe connect with you if they're having those same thought processes or even want to work with Rise 48 Equity, where's the best place for them to reach out and find you?
Yeah, no, thanks, Cody. Thanks for having us on. You know, the best place is, you know, if you want to reach out to me personally, my email address is my first name at rise48equity.com. So that's Bikron at rise48equity.com. You can find us on our website at rise48equity.com as well. And, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. It's all search. There's not a lot of Bikron Sandhus out there. You might find one or two, and I'll be one of those two out there. So easy to find on the social media side.
Perfect. And just for our listeners know, we'll put that in the show notes so you can easily find and connect with Bikron. Bikron, again, thank you so much for coming on. I can't thank you enough for opening up and sharing with the audience today. We really appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, no, of course. Thank you so much for having us, Cody. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.